Hello and welcome to The Debate. I'm Kavit Akhwe. It is the third day of Turkey's assault on the Kurdish-held province of Afrin in northern Syria. The Turkish president has announced the launch of the military operation dubbed Olive Branch, even though it has been opposed by Russia, Iran, Syria, and even the U.S. Or is it? In this edition of The Debate, we will explore that. We're going to take a look at the real reasons that Turkey is making a ground invasion and the role that its ally, supposed ally, the U.S. is playing. What appears to be a double game by Washington when it comes to the Kurds. Let's get some analysis in here. Managing editor and columnist of Veterans Today, Jim Dean, joins us from Atlanta. We have foreign policy and focus Ian Williams, who joins us from New York. I'd like to welcome you both. Ian Williams, I'll start with you. We're looking at an operation third day into it, and tell us what your understanding is when it comes to the way that Turkey is dealing with the Kurds, and whether this is something that's coordinated with the other major players, i.e. Russia and the U.S. Of course, they all then have, in terms of Russia, then you have the Syrian country as a whole that is in disagreement with this.
Well, you know, understanding is almost a strong word in terms of this. There are so many different sides, each with their own interests. And one of the problems in Washington and other places is an attempt to reduce this to a sort of binary struggle. So the fact that there's lots of different factions on all sides, each with their own interests, and outside observers keep trying to make it an us and them, cowboys and Indians sort of deal, is what complicates it. And this is incredibly complicated, because there's the U.S. It's announced its backing for the Kurds in the north against ISIS. The Turks are attacking them with weapons and equipment provided for by the United States, another ally. So, you know, just how tweaky are they? And it's quite clear that the Turks don't take Trump very seriously, despite all of his bluster. And the problem is that Trump might decide he wants to prove something. Who knows? The fact that the Turks have coordinated with Lavrov and the Russians, it seems, is also an indication that the whole sort of binary Cold War structure is breaking down there. Remember, the Turks were one of the staunchest NATO members facing Russia all of this time. They even joined up with the Greeks against the Russians for a long time. And now that seems to be completely falling apart. Then we have the various posturings. President Bashar al-Assad is threatening to shoot down Turkish planes. Well, he's no more going to do that than he's ever shot down Israeli planes. I mean, it makes great propaganda, jumping up and down and beating your chest, but he's not going to do it, because if the Turks really came after the Syrian Air Force, there wouldn't be much of it left. But, you know, the real problem here is you have this multi-sided problem and a real possibility of it descending into a maelstrom. And the Turks can't think rationally. The Turkish government, in the early days, Erdogan was actually quite, rational about the Kurds and was talking about an accommodation. But that they are not rational now at all. And You cannot deny a minority the right to its own language, to the right to its own sort of autonomy, and then go and extend that lack of rights into other countries in the vicinity, which is what the Turks have been trying to do. Now, well, it almost reminds me of the demonstrations in Greece today against the use of the word Macedonia. This is the type of dog whistle nationalism that we're seeing across the world, and it's extremely dangerous. And you know, it led to World War One, and it could lead to World War Three at this rate.
Well, we're trying to get an understanding here, Jim Dean, of what is going on. It's really quite confusing, especially when it comes to the three letters. I mean, you got the PYD, the YPG, the KRG, the PKK, the FSA. What we're trying to understand over here is you got the U.S. They have provided, from what we understand, Area Afrin to these U.S. allied Kurdish forces. There's 2,000 troops there on the ground. They backed them with airstrikes, arms, and training, but yet you have Turkey that is attacking them. You have Turkey that has gotten the approval of Russia, but then Turkey is supposed to be aligned with the U.S., but not on the Kurdish issue. So explain this all to us if you can, Jim Dean.
Well, we have to look at this from two views now. Number one, it looks like we have the classic fake war going one more time. Let's take a look at the Kurds that are in Afrin. No case has been made whatsoever, despite how many times Erdogan says that he's defending against the terrorists there. We've not had one story about any terrorist from Afrin conducting any operations, bombings or suicide killings inside Turkey. No one's been arrested there that's from Afrin. It's been very strange. We were waiting for them to show us some prisoners or because these are the types of things that they typically try to do. None of this came, and then all of a sudden, timing-wise, we had to ask from an intelligence point of view, if the Kurds and Afrin really aren't a threat, why is Erdogan picking this time to go into Syria? And the answer to that is we have the meeting of Sochi coming up at the end of the month, which Turkey is going to be one of the main players there. And whenever you're having a sit down and trying to have a political settlement, particularly in a complicated situation, as our former guests have said, in Syria, one of the main rules is he who holds the most territory holds the most negotiating cards. So our people here at Veterans Today, we're looking at this as just a fox paw thing that Erdogan did now. He wants to go in, grab these two areas, Manbij, he's already moving on also. So when he's sitting down at the table in Sochi, he's going to be sitting on that territory. And in today's news, he came out and mentioned for the first time in this round of the fighting that all I want, I'm really not going to threaten Syria's sovereignty at all. I just want to have a 20-mile border along my border. So this is a very interesting concept here. I don't know whether he's introducing this to the UN, that anyone that's concerned about future terrorist attacks from a neighbor, they have a right to just go into the neighbor's country and create a 20-mile buffer zone. And that's not really considering an invasion of, that's still honoring their sovereignty, but it's just a security matter.
Uh-huh.
So it's going to be very interesting to see how people take advantage of this.
Well, let's look at different statements that are coming in, Williams, and get your reaction on it. Maybe statements might have give us a window to the thinking here. You have the U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, who said today he's concerned about Turkey's new offensive against the Kurdish militia in northern Syria. He urged all sides to show restraint. But the latest, just hours ago, the U.S. hopes to work with Turkey to try to create a security zone in northwest Syria to meet its legitimate security needs.
It's completely puzzling. I mean, as you know, it's not the first time that the Trump administration is speaking from both sides of its mouth at the same time. And we're never quite sure whether it's duplicity or whether it's just stupidity. And sometimes it's both. So it's very difficult to know how this can be reconciled. We know that I've just seen a news report that that Sergei Lavrov has invited the Kurds to the talks in Sochi. So in that sense, the Turkish invasion has misfired diplomatically, fairly catastrophically. Can the U.S. abandon these people who they've been holding up as the frontline fighters against ISIS? Very interesting in terms of domestic politics. Can any of them have any credibility internationally? Not really. I mean, the hypocrisy is all around. And a lot of the sympathy internationally is going to be for the Kurds, who are persecuted in three or four different countries. They're denied their rights, and they've had to fight, and they're being squeezed on all sides. But then the Kurds don't do themselves any favors because they've played footsie with all the local with all the regional powers, and they fight each other all of the time. The one thing we should remember is that the boundaries in this area were all drawn originally with the idea of a Kurdish state. Whether that's viable, whether it's ever going to happen, but everybody promised them one, except, of course, everybody was just kidding. So the Kurds have been split up. There's plenty of possibilities for the Kurds to have rights, freedoms, liberty in all of the different countries. But all of the various regimes have played them one against the other. We saw, Saddam Hussein massacred them. The Turks have been persecuting them for years and denying their very identity. And, you know, as Bashar al-Assad played different times, one time he was very nice to the Kurds, then he started Arabizing the area, and currently he's playing them both against each other. Sometimes they're with the FSA, sometimes they're playing with the Damascus regime against the FSA and ISIS. Nobody is being very straight on all of this.
Let's see what Russia has said. Jim Dean, your reaction, that the U.S. has been discouraging the Kurds from dialogue with the Syrian government and fomenting separatist sentiments. And that shows a lack of understanding of the situation or a deliberate provocation.
We're very suspicious here at Veterans Today that what this is really going on, this fox fighting between possible fighting between the Turks and the U.S. is basically theatrics. And you only have theatrics when you're trying to hide something. And what we see possibly going on here is I have been editorializing for months now as the war turned against ISIS, and we knew when the Russians came in and with the Iranian militias and ISIS slowly being pushed back, that once the military, ISIS was defeated militarily, and we started to reach the time to go into a political settlement, that the U.S. coalition, which included Turkey, was going to try to win in the peace talks what they could not win in the battlefield. And as I mentioned in my earlier comment, that how much control of the country you have is the most important thing that you have. So what I'm beginning to see when I look at the battle maps is both the U.S. is in the eastern part of the Kurdish territory, and now you have Turkey coming in and wanting to have the western part, so that between the two of them, they will have Balkanized, which is one of the things that they wanted to do, is Balkanizing Syria, is to take control of northern Turkey, so they would have a conduit for the pipelines, oil and gas pipelines coming from Qatar and Saudi Arabia going to the Mediterranean, hopefully to compete with the Russians getting their pipeline in there, which is already going with Turkey. And so we're beginning to really suspect that this is just a show that they're putting on for both of them be there. And I would be willing to bet that once the Turks get in there, they're going to be there for a long time, just as the U.S. is going to be there for a long time. And they're going to basically say to Russia, and they'll say to Iran, what are you going to do about it?
Very well.
We're here stabilizing the situation. We want to make sure ISIS doesn't come back, and we're not going until we decide to go.
Okay, let's take a quick timeout, listen to some of your comments on our Facebook page, and we'll get right back to the debate.
I smell what happened in Syria will soon hit Turkey. The U.S. is perfect in playing games. Turkey should seek dialogue or spend the rest of its days in war. It seems like Russia and America have both used the Kurds for the hard fighting against ISIS and now left them to get annihilated by Turkey. Erdogan is going to start another large conflict in the region, all because he doesn't want the Kurds to have an area of their own. Turkey needs to make peace with the Kurds and end this conflict forever so that everyone can finally have peace. Kurds turned their backs on the Syrians, so what's the problem? Great job, Turkey. Why is the U.S. hiding behind YPG and PKK? Don't know why they have kept their mouth shut after Turkey's operation started. Erdogan was in the same boat with the U.S., Saudi Arabia, and Israel to cut Syria into pieces. Now he sees YPG-PKK as a threat to his country, while he supports terrorist groups that Assad sees as a threat to his country. Shame on you, Erdogan, for killing innocent civilians, Kurds in Syria. The U.S. is a warmonger and propagates chaos all over the world. U.S. seeks a non-stop war in the Middle East.
Okay, some of the viewer comments there. Let's try to get some conclusion here before our time ends for this debate. Ian Williams, is it correct to conclude that the Kurds, at this point, they're looking at Turkey and accusing them of using this coalition, so-called U.S.-led coalition against Daesh, as a cover to attack the PKK, both in Turkey and Iraq, and now against the YPG in northern Syria?
Look, in reality, the YPG and the PKK are separate. They're sort of sympathetic to each other. The reality here is that the Turks are scared on a sort of, philosophical, quasi-theological basis about the very idea of an independent Kurdish power or state in anywhere, because it sets an example to the 20% of the Turkish population who are Kurds, who have been deprived of rights and in varying degrees persecuted. Now, you know, attacking areas like this, adding to the deaths in the killing fields of Syria, is not going to advance Turkey's standing with its own 20% of the population. And as we've just heard from other people, Turkey should really be kissing and making up with the Kurds and showing them, look, you know, we are brothers together. We won't call you Mountain Turks, okay, but you can...
I got to jump in, unfortunately, to get Jim Dean's statement in here, Ian Williams, for lack of time. So the Turkey's red line is for the U.S. to stop its support for the YPG, Jim Dean, if it wants to work together with Turkey and Syria. Is that just for show, what it's saying, and other things going on behind the scenes when it comes to the U.S. and Turkey?
I think it's just for show, because he knows the U.S. is not about to be run out of Syria and Kurdistan just because Erdogan wants them to. But it then gives Erdogan the position to say, well, if you're not going to leave, then I'm not going to leave. So I think he's crafted this thing for a win-win. Once he goes in, he's not going to leave. He says, well, I'm not going to leave until the U.S. leaves. And the U.S. says, well, we're not going to leave until the conditions are right. And of course, these are statements that they're making that they can change the definitions on at any time they want to down the road. So what we're really having, we're watching here, is a balkanization of the country going on right now.
Thank you, Managing Editor and columnist at Veterans Today, Jim Dean. And thank you from Foreign Policy and Focus, Ian Williams from New York. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From me, Kaveh Tahweh, and the entire team in the capital of Tehran, is goodbye.